Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, April 21st, 2025. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here, and we're welcoming into the studio Little Charlotte's Rescue. We're going to be talking about a really cool event coming up with this organization and a bunch else, but I want you guys to get to know the people that I just got to get to know a little bit, and I'll let you introduce yourselves. And Kim, if you don't mind, I don't know how much we'll be hearing from Kim, but if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself, Kim, just in case they hear your voice and like, who was that? So if you wouldn't mind, Kim, introducing yourself.
So I'm Kim Haviland. I am a board member that Sherry brought on when we first started. I
appreciate you being here, Kim. Thanks. Sherry.
I'm Sherry, and I am the director of Little Charlotte's Rescue. We started Little Charlotte's Rescue in 2022 after a crazy friend of mine who lives in Harlingen, Texas, called me and said, hey, I have these pity puppies and their brother and sister. They've been in a hoarding situation. They pretty much have lived in a kennel their whole life, and brother got sister pregnant, and if I bring them to Wisconsin, will you find them a home? And I said, absolutely. And I hung up the phone, and my husband said, what did you just agree to? And that's how it all started.
That's how it started. Oh, wow, that's awesome. It's kind of interesting. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Now, if we can rewind even a little bit farther, if you don't mind, Sherry, where did this passion and care for animals come from? Or has that? Oh, is it something new, or has it always been there?
It's always been there. So we actually got a dog who is not a rescue, and her name is Little Charlotte, and she is 100% unconditional love. Like, you don't pay attention to her and she smacks you with her hand, or she does this noise, she needs attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just realized that what she is and what she does for me is absolutely unconditional love. So I wanted that for other people. And I've always wanted that. So I've always been like, you have to come over and meet Little Charlotte. Come meet. And everyone's like, she's not little. She's not. She's an 80-pound American Bulldog Bull Mastiff.
Ooh.
So she's a big girl.
Oh, yeah.
And she just loves love. And the more people that I think can experience that kind of unconditional love, the better off I feel like people are.
Yeah, and better off the world is.
Absolutely.
You know? I came into animals late, but I started in my mid-20s, started working at shelters, and I was in California when I actually got to do some real work at a real shelter out there. And I fell in love with animals instantly. And certainly dogs, I not having them or anything like that, but there was something immediately that I felt a pull towards, even though
Absolutely.
I didn't grow up with them. And I realized real quickly that as much as they are givers of emotions and love and unconditional love, like nothing maybe on the earth, on the planet, they also give you an opportunity to realize what you have in you. Animals
Absolutely.
Do. And the when it comes to like starting an organization, you said this started in 2022.
Yes.
So if I'm talking to you in 2015, 2019, something like that, I got to imagine
never have said that this would be my life.
Right.
Never in a million years.
And that is the power of not only love and passion, but willpower and drive and care and what human beings can accomplish. And I feel like going back to animals, I feel like animals remind us of that.
Yes.
I feel like animals are every day, especially dogs, are such an everyday reminder of what we can be and how great we can be, not only as people, but to each other. I think in something like this and what you guys are doing here is a real accumulation of that. So I was so excited to talk with you guys today and about this great organization. And it's not surprising, but it's really cool to hear that story. I wasn't expecting, though, with all the research, I do my homework on these interviews. I work hard on these. I did not know that that's where Charlotte, is that where Charlotte came from?
Yes, little Charlotte is our unconditional love, sassy, 80-pound, wants undivided mama attention 24/7. And when people adopt dogs, I'm like, this is going to be the worst of it or the best of it, because I can tell you Charlotte's 4 and she still chews up everything a mama's.
Yeah,
if it's
it.
Mine, she has to have it.
the things that you've described, Sherry, are things I think that are incredibly relatable, and there's a lot of people that can, but not everybody has that same passion and love and then starts something like this and gets something like this going. What made you want to do that, the Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue?
After I originally talked with Sharla, who's another one of our board members who lives in Texas, I realized, you know, talking to her, that there are so many dogs in Texas that people just drop. Like, you go behind a gas station, a grocery store, anything, You go like in the middle of a field and there will be puppies just running. And once I went down there and actually did our first transport, I realized how many dogs there really were. And something about being in Texas and the way things are there is it's so much different than here. Like here in the winter, things kind of die off. There in the winter, the coldest it gets is 40. So the dogs kind of huddle up in a little pile. And then as soon as it gets warm, like now it's already 90, they start reproducing. And people just don't fix their dogs there. So it ends up being, you know, 20 dogs on the side of the road. And people just don't even notice them anymore because they're so used to it.
I years ago had a blue tick heeler that came from Texas, and she was in a hoarding situation, and she had only ever we got her young, but she had only ever experienced stuff in a garage. And eating on concrete and stuff. And so when she came here and you saw her like hitting the grass, like just the, I can still picture, this is almost 10 years ago now, but I can still picture the look on that beautiful dog's face, the excitement she had and everything from that.
This last transport we had that, we called her Whiskey, and she was the mama of some Chihuahuas. And when we got on grass after we had gotten her out, she just started rubbing her belly, and I had to video her, and I was like, oh my God, you guys, look at her. She just loves to scratch her belly. And before that, like, we could barely touch her. After she rubbed her belly on the grass, suddenly she was like, oh, these people love me. And I was like, I want to keep her.
Yeah.
I have to keep her. My husband's like, no, you cannot keep them.
I appreciate that. And I bring up what I was about Chloe, the dog, the blue tick heeler that we had, in part because this is something that has been going on for a long time, especially this almost pipeline between Texas and Wisconsin or Texas and the Midwest.
Yes.
And these, and a lot of that involves the laws and the rules that they have there in Texas and in some other southern states. I want to be really clear. I am not saying any of this is a judgment on that. I'm not going to tell another state how to do their business or what they're going to do. I do prefer and lean towards what we do here in the Midwest.
Absolutely.
With our animals. And I think it's not only a more humane way of doing it, but a smarter and a more financially smart way of doing it, and a number of other factors. But I think that it's noteworthy also because it's not common knowledge that, you know, whether it's having no kill shelters here and not so much down there, or euthanasia with animals, or any of these other topics that might come up in the conversation. So not only do I think it's noteworthy, but I do think it's something worth looking into for people out there and seeing why organizations like Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue or something are so vital and so needed. And let's talk about now what you've been able to do with this organization and the work that you've been able to get done.
So we actually have saved over 400. I would love to have an exact count for today, but I can't. But at some point, I will definitely.
I wish I had my ringing bell. Like, that's amazing. 400?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So every transport is between 30 and 40 or 50. Just don't tell my husband. He never asks anymore. He just kind of says, so how many are you bringing? And I just laugh and say, I don't know till I get there.
That's a good guy. That's
yeah,
a good guy.
Yeah.
Right there.
So
and a smart guy. A smart
man. He is 100% the support for me that I need. And I will never say that he's right, but he is absolutely right in the scenario of if I'm down there and somebody says, hey, there's one more, I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we definitely have done quite a bit of work. We make sure that all the dogs that come up here get fixed, are up to date on their shots, that they you know, have the flea and tick treatment, that they have everything that they need to be successful here.
Yeah.
We have a contract that says, you know, something happens, we'll bring them back. We have, gosh, like 15 or 20 fosters now in Texas who bring the dogs into their homes and get them safe and secure so that we can transport them here. We have another 15 to 20 up in Wisconsin that, you know, take dogs for us and get them in a home environment so that we can find out for sure 100% are they dog friendly, are they kid friendly, you know, things that people want to know before they adopt a dog. If for some reason they're not dog friendly, we don't adopt them to a family that has another animal. You know, we want to make sure that we're doing the best fit for the dogs and to make sure that it's a successful transition.
Talking to people over the years, starting a nonprofit can be difficult in itself. Adding on these that are added on layers to this, like not only the transportation, but, you know, the contracts that you mentioned there and some of that. Again, it just comes down to you do something like this because you love it, you're passionate about it, you care, but you also because you see a need in the community for it or in life, in society for it.
Absolutely. Like, as a nonprofit, me, myself, And Kim would say this exactly. It's not like I don't get paid to do this. I don't make any money. I actually, over a year ago, quit my full-time job because I just, it wasn't something I was passionate about. And I started grooming so that ultimately I could take off whenever I want so that I can go to Texas. It's definitely not something that you get paid for. And if you talk to people who do rescue and who do transports, they'll tell you that you need to have a tough skin. Like if you don't have a tough skin and you have a soft heart, you're not going to last. And I've seen so many people who do rescue, especially in the last year, actually, who have quit doing rescue because it's so hard and it's just so much. Yeah. And it seems like every day it's like there's another dog being euthanized. There's another dog being dropped. There's another dog being mistreated. And you can only save so many. And that's a really hard concept for me to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I have a board. They remind me of that. And they remind me that we've already saved so many. So we just try to kind of follow through with that and just save as many as we can.
I had a really rough, you know, upbringing, and I've experienced quite a bit in life. I mentioned again that I didn't grow up with animals, so I was warned quite a bit that when I started working in shelters and fostering dogs, hey, you're going to get attached, hey, you got to be careful of this, this, and this. And certainly listened to those people and heard them, but also will wholeheartedly admit I took it incredibly lightly. I could almost draw one of the dogs that I'm thinking of right now as you were talking about that the shelter that I worked out in Santa Barbara and everything. The attachment that you get to these animals, the love and care that you get for them, you really do need a thick skin, a thicker skin than I realize. And I always like to credit people that are in this job doing that, because not only do you guys know that better than most, but you continue to do it, even knowing that. That's not only appreciated, but I find it to be one of the more beautiful things in humanity that we can do for not only each other, but for these animals. We're on a place on the food chain for a reason. It's not so that we can look down or anything. It's a chain. In order to keep that thing moving, we all got to look out for each other, every Absolutely. Living thing. And so much of what you're doing here is keeping that chain moving. It may not seem like it's the largest scale to some or anything like that, but these kind of things are done on this level. And the more organizations like this that we have and the more of this going on, the more we can keep that food chain moving and keep everybody, keep this whole thing moving, this whole world. It's a beautiful thing that you're doing over there. And it's so noteworthy to have things like this. And you kind of led us into this. And I want to get into now the Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue Pet Drive that is going on right now and talking a little bit about this. What is the pet drive exactly? And what are the items we need for the drive?
So we do... every time before we do a transport, we do a fill our van or we do a pet drive or we do something where we collect new or used items that we either take to Texas or we use for our fosters here. And it really, honestly, it sounds crazy, but it could be anything. Like the other day, someone's like, oh my gosh, I just threw out a bunch of washcloths. Well, guess what? We can use washcloths. Mm-hmm. We can use towels. You know, somebody was like, oh, I have a bunch of old bleach. Guess what? Pour it into two bottles into one and bring it. We'll use it. There's always something that we can take or we can use to help somebody else who potentially is fostering dogs for us. Or, you know, even old leashes and old collars that you're like, well, I really don't need this anymore. Like, I just want to save the tag for my dog, but I want to help somebody else. Absolutely, we can take them.
Yeah. And not only anybody out there who's ever owned an animal can, I think, immediately think of, oh, what could they need or what are things that they could need, and probably go through a list in your own head of that. But anybody who has ever moved out and, you know, started on their own
Absolutely.
And had their own apartment or something like that. Like if you think about it on that level, I think right away you start thinking of things that could be used over there. This is a great opportunity, and this is a great community to do this with, because this community responds to these kind of things. We have the Humane Society in every week and love talking with them about different things that they're doing over there and how the community responds to that. With this event, now we got items that we want to drop off. As you were saying, that I thought of items that I could drop off. Where can we drop those items off?
So I know that the radio station has several places in Rapids that mm-hmm. are accepting donations. We also do have a building in Whiting that we can work with people. If you go on our website, you can definitely reach out to me through that way. And we can, even if we have to pick up something, if it's a bigger mm-hmm. item or if you have several items, you know, we're willing to work with anybody to get donations that, you know, are acceptable and that we can use and that's going to help somebody.
To Sherry's point, these are WFHR, WIRI studios. If you want to drop something off, you can over here at 1690 2nd Avenue South or right by the roundabout. Come say hi to Pam. From the Ground Up Coffee House at 250 West Grand Avenue here in Rapids. And, of course, our great friends over at Family Natural Foods at 910 West Grand Avenue right here in Rapids. You could drop these items off over there. And Sherry wasn't kidding. I mean, you know, we were certainly thinking of the collars and leashes and some of those things, but I see as items needed, blankets, towels, kennel grates, garden hoses, cleaning supplies, a lot of these things that we could really use. And I think if you might not think of it right away, but if you take a couple seconds and really think about it, oh yeah, that they could definitely use this.
Absolutely.
If there's an item that like isn't on this list or doesn't come to mind right away, but I'm like, oh, I think that they could really use it. Can I call up and find out if you can use it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Is there? We'll get the contact information before we wrap up. And this is wrapping up, everybody. It's this has been going on since the 15th. We've heard us talking about it on our morning show and some other places, but it is going to be wrapping up on May 1st. So I want you to be able to get those items donated before then. Keep that in mind. If you can get them out there before then, it's greatly appreciated. But as say it is May 2nd and you're hearing this interview or something like that, and we'll figure out a way to get those items to you guys as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. We take them all year long. We go to Texas several times, so we always fill and get what we can.
Speaking with Sherry and Kim from Little Charlotte's Rescue, and one thing I wanted to make sure we noted before we let you guys go, and I saw this in your notes, that you don't have a building here in Wisconsin yet. They don't have a location for this yet. But that is a goal. That is something you're hoping to
absolutely.
Do. Absolutely. Now, again, this community really steps up when it comes to things like this and everything. So I wanted to make sure put that out there in the ether and make sure that our community and all these great businesses out there know that. I will bring up, this may seem like a reach, but I don't think it is, our friends over at Focus and that are a part of that are over in the Sparhawk Trucking building. Mark and the gang over at Sparhawk saw that they needed a building. They opened their doors to them and brought them in. And you just heard me mention Sparhawk Trucking three different times right now.
Yes.
They are not advertising with us. I'm mentioning that because they're a local business to put back into this community, and I appreciate that. That could be you out there with our friends at Little Charlotte's. Opening your doors to nonprofits is not only one of the greatest things you can do for a community and helping each other out. It's PR 101. It's marketing 101. Attaching yourself to a nonprofit is one of the better ways of, I mean, what would you pay for good PR? Yeah, any marketing, any salesperson out there has no number to be able to give you on that. That's the kind of thing that you're doing when you're helping out or being a part of things with group organizations like this. And a rising tide raises all boats. You know, when we work together, when we help each other, it's something that we not only make better a better world, but better for our animal kingdom and all of our furry friends out there and everything. To that point, you guys do work with our humane societies and that, and are communicating with them.
Yes, we bring several dogs actually from kill shelters in Texas up here so that they aren't euthanized and they get amazing homes up here, and we have a lot of success with it.
Sherry, before we let you go, not just with the pet drive going on, but just with the organization in general, is there anything we as a community can do to help? There's so many great listeners out there that maybe they don't have $1 billion to be able to invest in here or something like that, but they'd really love to be able to help some other way. Is there volunteering or certainly bringing items to the rescue or here or to the pet drive here?
Absolutely. We always have times when we need volunteers. Sometimes it's like handing out flyers. Sometimes it's helping me photocopy 35 pieces of paper so we can make folders. We have a volunteer group on Facebook. We can add you to that. And there's always something that comes up that I'm like, oh my gosh, I just can't do this by myself.
And before we let you guys go, is there anything else you wanted to touch on? Did we cover everything?
Yeah. So we do... I guess they're companion dogs. So if you are a veteran and you just need something, my husband is a Marine and we've seen firsthand how dogs can help him and other veterans. So we do no charge for the dogs for combat veterans. And all you really have to do is reach out to us and say, hey, I need something. And we are going to go bend over backwards to get you something that's going to help you to show you that you are needed, you are loved, and that we're going to support you.
Sorry, that got me, Sherry. Thank you. Thank you for that. I hope you guys enjoyed yourself. I hope it went well because you're going to be back. You did too good of a job. We got to bring you back. We want to keep talking with you guys, not only with other pet drives maybe or any attention we can bring to Little Charlotte's Rescue, but I think just for the audience getting a chance to see as this grows, and I do think it's going to grow. So we look forward to talking with you again real soon. For anybody out there that has any follow-up questions or would like to know more about Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue, or ways they can help? Is there a contact number? Is there a way to reach you or a Facebook page or anything like that?
Absolutely. There's a Facebook page, Little Charlotte's Rescue Wisconsin. There is my phone number. It's my direct cell phone number, and I may regret this in about 20 minutes, but 920-427-7735. You can leave voicemails. You can text me. You can, you know, reach out through the Little Charlotte's Rescue Facebook page. We have a website. We're always willing to help, and we're always willing to look for help, and anything that, you know, you think that you could do to help a puppy, we're willing to work with you.
Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue has their pet drive going on now until May 1st. And again, you can drop items off at From the Ground Up Coffee Shop, our Family Natural Foods here in Rapids, or our WFHR, WIRI studios. Encourage you and thank you for doing that. Keep up the great work, you guys. We appreciate you.
Thanks, James.
Thank you. And we'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.